This is More Financial Talk with Ryan Moore from Retirement Solutions Group. You need a financial strategy that accounts for challenges like market volatility and inflation, and that also adequately prepares you for retirement. The purpose of More Financial Talk is to address common financial concerns, provide helpful strategies, and offer ways you may be able to achieve your financial goals. And now here's More Financial Talk. Keep more in your pocket.
Welcome to More Financial Talk. I'm Ryan Moore, and with me today is co-host Tony Shore. How are you doing, Tony? How's the weather in Minnesota these days?
You know what? Not bad. You know, it actually is starting to feel a little like spring here, but that's usually deceptive. We usually get snowstorms and blizzards in March. So far, so good, though. We're in the 40s and 50s, so I'll take that. I'll take that every day. How are you doing?
Yeah, doing well. Beautiful day out there today. No complaints. Got our littlest one turned 7 today. So it's all about the birthday.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I'm going to be in your area. I'm going to be in Brentwood on March 26th. My wife and I fly in, and I'll be staying in Brentwood. We're staying at my friend's place in Brentwood through that Sunday just for the weekend. And they're throwing a 60th birthday party for me.
Oh, wow, Tony, I would have never thought. You don't look 60, yeah. My friend.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, well, I've been hearing that a lot. You're 60, and I tell people I don't feel a day over 59. So I've got that going for me. But it'll be good to get together with a lot of people I haven't seen. So I'm excited about that. Maybe we'll have to. I know you're a busy guy, but I'll see if I'll give you the details. And if you want to stop by, you can.
Yeah, sounds good, man. Let me know. Yeah,
I will for sure. So the show today, we're talking about 401ks, how to add, you know, really, you know, 401k insights, all about 401ks. And most people I know have 401ks or something similar, an employer-sponsored plan like a 403b. So I'm glad we're talking about these today because I think there are a lot of misconceptions and things people need to know, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think it's quite as straightforward as many perceive it to be. And this is a primary savings tool for people in retirement. And so for that reason, I think there's a lot to consider here and definitely quite a bit to work through and hopefully give some folks some different insights and things to consider to, you know, improve their situation and ultimately, you know, prepare more or better for the future.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's such a great tool, 401ks and, your saving for retirement. It's automated, which helps. You can automate it. That's huge. But what do we need to know today? Where do you want to begin?
Yeah. So we'll start with, you know, budgeting retirement savings. One of the components here is that a lot of times when you're starting with a company and they offer this 401k, you know, employer plan benefit, they may auto enroll you and they may start at kind of a minimal amount of contributions. I think the average starting point is about 3%, which, you know, the message there is just might not cut it right long term. Right. So if you want to really boost your contributions each year, I think you need to consider trying to contribute more. But with that, you know, over time, people get raises and they get a higher salary. And I think it's important to be mindful to adjust your contributions, especially after a raise. And that way you're building a stronger foundation for retirement and potentially your legacy. So really understanding your budget. And sometimes I think it's helpful to try to stretch your budget because your future self will thank you for it.
Well, sure. And I love that idea. And my wife and I started doing that every time we get a raise now, especially at my age, I talked about turning 60, but started doing this in my 50s is every time I get a raise, I just increase my contribution to my 401k by that much, because why not? I'm not going to miss the money. Right. Because I haven't been getting that money. So it's never hit my checking account. That's the general fund. If it hits the general fund, Ryan, it's gone.
Forget about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just increased, you know, I got a raise. I just increased what I'm contributing to my 401k by that much. And every year I do that with my raise and it works out great. And I think that's a really good advice that I'm glad you brought that up, because use that raise, just contribute it to your 401k. You won't be sorry. I wish I'd been doing that a lot longer. Hindsight is 2020 though.
Yeah. And I hear that a lot. All we can do is plan for the immediate in the future and go from there. So let's talk about the next bullet point here, which would be, you know, the matching dollars. So most 401ks offer a match. Essentially, that's free money, right? So the first thing we would always say is never contribute less than the match, because then you're leaving free money on the table. So that's, I think, a no-brainer. Again, even if it means stretching your budget, why would you want to leave that free money on the table? So that's the first thought on that topic.
Sure. Yeah. The match is huge. And I knew you'd bring that up. This is where a lot of people miss out too, isn't it? Like you talked at the beginning about auto enrollment. Don't just stop there, add to it, because a lot of companies I know will, their auto enrollment will start at say 3%. That's common. But their full match goes up to 6%. So if you just leave it at the 3, you're not contributing enough to get the full match. So you're leaving money on the table. That's money, the company, that's part of your compensation package.
Yeah.
Part of your benefits. Yeah. Why would you turn it down? I just say, I don't want that extra money.
Right. They might not mind that you're not getting that extra money, but grab it while you can is what I say. But let's drill down a little bit on this, because you know, there's been some developments as it relates to the match. And first thing, I want to clear something up. I actually just had a meeting yesterday and I was meeting with this couple for the first time. And what I learned was that the husband was contributing 5% to the traditional side of the 401k, which gets the deduction and goes in pre-tax.
Sure.
But then also contributing 5% to the Roth 401k. And we'll get to that topic in a little bit.
Yep.
But the thought process that he had was that the money that gets contributed to the Roth side does not get the match. And that is not accurate. So for that reason, he was contributing that 5% to the pre-tax side when ultimately he's trying to build a tax-free bucket, but felt like he was going to lose that free money by not, you know, contributing to that traditional side. So I cleared that up for him, because that's just not the case. Now, part of this is in previous years, there was, you know, the rule was that if you contributed to the Roth side, the matching would have to go to the traditional side,
right?
Which even then you still want to get that free money, even though it may not be going into the tax-free bucket, but, and they don't commingle the dollars, right? So they're going to keep track of which side is pre-tax and which side is after-tax tax-free in the Roth. But there was a development with this back in early 2023, and it was when the Secure Act 2.0 came out. And they basically made it the letter of the land, the law, that matching dollars can now go to the Roth side. And that was never the case. Now, there's a caveat to this, because I think some of our government administrations think that they can make changes to the rules, and then our systems overnight are just going to be able to comply and adjust. And the reality is that it doesn't happen that quick. So logistically, what we're finding is that some companies are set up to have the match go to the Roth side, while others are still not capable of doing that. So it's worth inquiring, knowing that. And if you're somebody that is trying to save for a tax-free retirement and take advantage of the Roth, I think you want every dollar you can to go into that bucket. And ultimately, you know, you're going to get the match anyway. However, if the match does go to the Roth, you're essentially paying taxes on that match now, instead of, you know, paying taxes on the harvest down the road. So a lot to consider there, but worth checking out, you know, with your 401k department or human resource department.
Right. I think that's huge. Obviously, you want to take advantage of Roths when you can and when you have the option and when they work for you. This is another great question for a trusted financial services professional like yourself, I wouldn't want to make these decisions on my own in fear I'm making the wrong ones. You'll probably have to go to your company's HR and talk to them as well, but run past what you're doing. Okay, how much should I put in my 401k? How much should I put in the Roth? How much should I put in the traditional? Should I be also putting money into an IRA or a Roth IRA? So there are a lot of factors to be considered, aren't there?
Absolutely. And so since we're touching on the Roth 401k, why don't we just continue a little further here? So, you know, I do a lot of educational events, as you know, this is a big part of what we teach on. We do have a tax efficient sort of niche planning focus of our firm. And with that, you'd be amazed at how few people actually know that their 401k offers a Roth option.
Yeah.
And I've researched this, and 82% of employer plans do make a Roth option available. But, you know, like many things, it just doesn't get broadcasted. So, you know, sometimes people will come to my, you know, workshops and I'll bring that up, and they may even come up to me after and say, yeah, that sounds great. I really wish our company offered that. And then they go to work the next day and inquire about it, and then come to realize that it's been available all along, right? So just understand there are some things to consider here. When you're contributing to the traditional side and the money's coming out of your paycheck, you're getting a tax deduction. So it does reduce your overall taxable income when you're contributing to the pre-tax traditional side. When you're contributing to the Roth side, the money has to go in after tax first, so that it grows tax-free after. So with that, you're going to lose that deduction. So I don't want to just make a, you know, a blanket recommendation here. I do think it's important to know your own situation, consult a tax professional or an investment planner that does, you know, have a niche focus in this area. But if you're somebody that is a high income earner and on the cusp of the next tax bracket, or maybe not even a high income earner, but if you're right on that cusp of, you know, moving into the next bracket, that tax deduction piece could be beneficial, even though it's not going to help you so much down the road. There's a lot to consider there. So I just want to make sure that we're mindful of everybody's circumstances are different.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's true. Roths can be such a powerful tool, but you want to make sure that it fits into your overall financial strategy. And it's so important to try to get tax-free income set up for retirement, have that tax-free bucket that you'll be able to use in retirement. And people think, well, why? I'm going to be in a low tax bracket anyway. Not necessarily, actually, and taxes will probably eventually have to go up. So now may be the time to take care of that. We've talked about that, but you're right. And I made the same mistake here because our company did not offer the Roth option for a while when it first became available as a 401k. But then they did, but I forgot to keep checking. And then I realized, oh, I should be putting money into that Roth 401k. And how much you put, what percentage you're putting into the traditional versus the Roth, or do you put it all into the Roth? You have to ask, is your company going to match the Roth? If they are, it's kind of a no-brainer. But again, I wouldn't do it without running it by a trusted financial professional.
Yeah. So I mean, we could go deep on this topic, but you know, the way I phrase it is the concept of deferring taxes for later was really that I'll be in a lower tax bracket when I'm retired.
Yeah.
And the reality is it's just not playing out like it suggests. Okay. And I call it the great misconception because that's the way we were led to believe. Now, typically, the older generation or the baby boomers' parents, when they retired, they tended to downshift their lifestyle. They lived more meagerly, more conservatively, and that is how it played out for many. But what we're finding is most of the baby boomer generation or the people that are retiring nowadays, they want to maintain the same standard of living that they did when they were working. And so therefore, you know, a lot of the statistics will say that people are needing 80 to 100% of their working income in retirement so that they can live the same lifestyle. And you lose your deductions or many of them. And so for that reason, it's just not playing out to where they're in a lower tax bracket. And then when you have legislative risk where, you know, there's the likelihood that taxes will go up sometime down the road, that could be another reason why you're not in a lower tax bracket. So the basic concept here, in my opinion, is I think it's beneficial to consider paying taxes on the seed, right, instead of the harvest, even if it doesn't benefit you so much today. Like I said earlier in our episode here, your future self will thank you. Maybe going through a little bit of pain now will put you in a better position down the road. So again, a lot to consider, but you know, there's differing opinions on this topic for sure.
Oh, for sure. But you've covered three great points so far. You talked about auto enrollment. You talked about how important the match is. You got to contribute at least enough to get the full match, and then consider the Roth 401k. What's something else you want to cover or we need to know?
Well, I think it's important to know what are your contribution limits. So if you're somebody that is really trying to aggressively save and are in a position within your budget to try to max out your 401k, then, you know, it's important to know what you're eligible to max out to. And, you know, we just rolled into a new year here, and then typically those contribution limits increase. And so all those numbers change. And so let's break it down real quick. So if you're under 50, okay, this year you can contribute up to $24,500 in your 401k. And again, that is whether it goes to Roth or traditional. And that is a pretty sizable number as opposed to a self-directed IRA, which if you're under 50 is $7,500. So, you know, one is more of a needle mover than the other. And then with self-directed IRAs, you can be phased out if your income is too high. Whereas with the 401k, there are no income phase outs. So you could make $1 million a year and you're not going to be, you know, eliminated from being able to contribute. So if you're over 50, or I should say 50 to 59, the contribution limit this year is $32,500. So I just turned 50 this last year. So that makes me eligible to bump up my savings quite a bit. But there's also a new caveat that we haven't seen until this year, which is if you're between ages 60 and 63, there's like an additional catch up on top of the catch up provision, which means you can now contribute up to $35,750, which is $3,250 above if you're between 50 and 59. So there's a lot of numbers I'm throwing around here. Let's say it again. Okay. So between 50 and 59, you can contribute $32,500. But between 60 and 63, you can bump it up to $35,750. Now, when you go reach 64, you're back down to that 50 to 59 range. So I don't know how that evolved or where the rationale was there, but it seems to be this window between 60 and 63 that you're getting this additional contribution bump if you're in a position to take advantage of that.
Yeah, and I think they're calling that the super catch-up window is what that is. The super
sounds like a new condiment.
Yeah, it does. catch-up. It's the catch-up window. That's great, and it is interesting. I mean, that's a lot. Some people might say, I'm going to take $35,000 of my income a year and contribute it. Well, depending on what you're making and how close to retirement you are, if the kids are moved out, you don't have the same expenses. Try to max it out, play catch up and get as much in there as possible, because even if it's just a few years, that compounding interest on that money will make a huge difference.
Yeah, big time for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on. Another thing to be mindful of, if you're under 59 and a half and you take the money out early and it doesn't fall in line with a hardship exemption or first time home buyer's exemption, you could be facing an early withdrawal penalty. Yeah. So that's the 59 and a half rule, which the penalty is 10%. But remember, it's not just a 10% penalty. If it's out of the traditional side of the 401k, you're also going to have to pay taxes. So trying to avoid that, even when you get into some difficult circumstances, you know, is ideal to not have to go down that road. I mean, obviously, sometimes you have to do what you have to do, but just be mindful that you can really take a pretty big hit if you're, you know, tapping into that early.
Yeah. That money's for retirement. Don't touch it for any reason if you don't have to. That's for sure. In severe, extreme cases only should you touch your retirement accounts before you retire. In fact, you just shouldn't do it. That's why you've been saving, is for retirement. You're going to need that income. So what's next?
Yeah. So how about a job change? All right. So I think this is an important one. Because you know, nowadays many people change jobs, a little different than older generations that stuck with the same company, retired with a pension and a gold watch. And, you know, now there's a lot more job changes going on in the world, you know, usually for good reasons, or maybe you move, or maybe it's, you know, a better opportunity and you're leveraging your experience to move up the ladder. But when you do change jobs and you have, you know, a 401k that you're leaving behind, first of all, I always say, if you're going to leave, you should take your money with you, right? Because the plan can change, particulars, fees. It's harder to keep track of that if you're not, you know, with the company anymore. But when you leave that company and you have now what we would call an old 401k, you have a couple options there. Now, if you get a new job and it has a new 401k, you can roll the old 401k into the new 401k. But I would actually caution people against doing that, because one thing about 401ks is that they have a limited menu of what there is to invest in. So you don't have the full scope of what's out there in the marketplace to utilize. And therefore, you've got a limited menu. And usually these are the antiquated mutual funds that tend to sometimes underperform and be higher costing. So I think the better approach would be, you leave a company, you have an old 401k, then you can do basically a rollover to an IRA, an individual retirement account. So it doesn't become a taxable event. If it's in the pre-tax bucket, it's going pre-tax to pre-tax. But now you're unlocking the money outside of that restricted menu inside the 401k plan and opening up a broader menu of investment options. It will also allow you to maybe go seek out a financial professional that would be there to help provide more planning, active money management. Whereas if the money's tied up in your 401k, you really don't have that opportunity to work with somebody else because the money's in the plan, right? And so for that reason, I would strongly consider doing a rollover as opposed to just moving it to a new 401k and then tying the money back up. Now, when you do get to 59 and a half, most employer plans will allow you to roll that money out without a separation of service. Mm-hmm. And I recommend that too, for all the reasons I just mentioned. But if you do get to 59 and a half and you roll the money out of the plan, that doesn't mean you're going to stop future contributions. You may retire at 65, but you can unlock the money at 59 and a half, seek out a professional to do more advanced planning, have access to better tools, and ultimately continue to keep contributing. And then a lot of my clients that do that, we might sweep out, you know, the future contributions as they're building up, maybe once a year, and sweep it out and come back and continue to contribute and do it again until they retire. So a lot to think about there, but just be cautious about what you do with the old 401k, because I have had circumstances where I've met with folks that wanted to work with me who left a company, but before they met me, they rolled it into the new 401k. And at that point, it was too late.
Yeah. Yeah. So speaking of that, you can have both, right? You can have a 401k and outside of that, have an IRA, obviously.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And what's the difference? I mean, do you recommend people do that? Obviously, it depends on their situation. But for a lot of people, that might be a good idea because you have some more control over the IRA versus your employer sponsored plan, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Another big factor is, if you want to, you know, take it to the next level here, is when people start to wake up to the great misconception and realize that they would rather, you know, pay taxes now at a discount and start to grow the money tax free and not be beholden to legislative risk due to future, you know, tax law change. When the money's in the IRA, you can start to consider things like Roth conversions.
Yes.
Whereas in most employer plans, they don't allow that internally. So you got to get the money out of the employer plan into an individual retirement account. And so not only does it give you more flexibility on who you might want to work with, what type of investment tools are available, but also gives you the ability to do tax planning sooner. Now, one thing to be mindful of there is if you start to do Roth conversions and you're under 59 and a half, you have to be careful how you're paying the taxes. Because if you try to withhold the taxes, you're susceptible to that 10% penalty rule, even though you're paying the IRS.
Sure.
But if you have the capacity to pay the taxes out of something like bank money or other non-qualified investments, and you're under 59 and a half, that would give you the eligibility to start doing some of this tax planning sooner. But again, you're going to have more flexibility inside an IRA to consider all that than inside an employer plan.
Yeah, there you go. And but the good news is you can have both. That's right. The key.
Yeah. Yeah. And options are good.
Yeah. Options are always good. Okay. Do you have anything else you want to talk about regarding 401ks?
Yeah. Let's hit one last one here. And, you know, one thing I want people to be mindful of is most of these employer plans, as far as the investment options, they carry what are called target funds or retirement target funds, which essentially are trying to create an estimate of when you think you're going to retire. So it might be a 2030 target fund or a 2035 target fund. So the further out the date of the target, which is you're trying to align your, you know, anticipated retirement age or date, you know, the further out, the more growth oriented, the closer the date, basically it's going to have more bonds or fixed income or more conservative investments. And so as you're aging, those funds tend to shift more to the conservative side. Well, I think with that, you have to be careful because you could really be cutting off some growth potential by having too much in the conservative, you know, bond type allocations. And right now, you know, bonds are coming down in yield with rate cuts. So they're just not carrying the weight like they used to. So most 401ks, or I should say all 401ks, are held to a certain, you know, rules and standards that they have to provide a variety of options that are going to give you a diversified scope of choices. So another mistake I think you can make is not taking advantage of some, you know, non-US funds, international. Now, some of this depends on the conditions of the market and the economy, but it's important to not let your choices go stale or pick something that underneath the, you know, underneath the hood, so to speak, when you dig in, you don't even realize how much you're being held back by being too conservative. So it's important to know your risk tolerance and then have diversified choices and be mindful of these target funds for the reasons I just mentioned.
Yeah, that's a big one that a lot of people don't understand or think about. And again, it really illustrates, Ryan, why you have to work with a trusted financial services professional. I mean, it's huge. And so for our listeners out there and viewers, if they have questions or if they want to get a second opinion on where they're at or get an initial plan put in place, maybe they have questions about their retirement accounts, how can they get a hold of you?
Absolutely. Well, you can give us a call, area code 615-467-6300. You can email our office at info@rsgtn.com or just check out our website at rsgtn.com.
All right. Sounds good. Well, great show today, Ryan. A lot of great information. I hope our listeners were taking notes or set up that consultation with you and your team there at RSG. Listeners, viewers, thanks for tuning in. That does it for today's episode of More Financial Talk with our host, Ryan Moore.
Thank you for joining us for More Financial Talk. Don't head into retirement without a strategy that addresses both income and taxes. For more information, please contact Ryan Moore at Retirement Solutions Group at 615-467-6300 or visit rsgtn.com. Join us again soon for another episode of More Financial Talk. Keep more in your pocket.
Advisory services are offered by Retirement Solutions Group, Inc., an investment advisor. Insurance products and services are offered independently through Ryan Moore and Greg McGee, sole proprietors. All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.